Here we are in Ephesians chapter 1. Today we're going to begin to look at probably one of the most foundational sections of Paul's letter here in Ephesians, verses 3 through 14. So even though we're going to go through this book at a decent pace, we're actually going to slow it down for this first section, because what's in here, what's in verses 3 through 14, is so foundational to what we believe about God, so foundational to what we believe about the gospel, and so foundational to where the rest of this book is going, that if we apply the gas pedal too hard, we're going to get by a section that we need to get through the rest. So we're going to slow it down here for the first several weeks in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and then we'll pick up the speed a little bit. But let's look at God's word, hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That is God's word. Let's thank him for it. And before we thank him for it, let's think about this before we pray. What we've just read forms just one single sentence in the original language. 204 words in the original language without any punctuation. We have one run-on sentence that encapsulates God's never-ending run-on love for us in Jesus. So here's what we need. We need help to understand it. We need help to apply it. We need the Holy Spirit. And so let's pray right now for that help. And we know that our Father is eager to give it to us as we ask. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you love us, and that one of the ways you express your love for us is by giving us the Bible. You have spoken. We have your word. It reveals to us who you are and what your eternal plans are. And so I pray that right now, as we seek to understand what you have revealed here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, that we would see what you want us to see, that we would believe what you want us to believe, that we would be affected as you would have us be affected. So we ask for the Holy Spirit to be given, to open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your word. And we pray that the things that we see would remind us today that we are deeply loved by you, and that the things that we see would cause us to in turn love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we pray for this now earnestly and expectantly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remember from last week that we had said that Ephesians was written to confront a superficial understanding of the gospel. Paul has written this letter to the churches. He's written this letter to us under the influence of the Holy Spirit that we might go deeper in our understanding of the gospel. God wants us to go deeper in our knowledge of the gospel. There are things he wants us to know about him more than what we know right now. He wants this letter to take us deeper into the effects of the gospel. He wants us to feel more deeply how loved we are by him. And he wants this letter to take us more deeply into the transforming power of the gospel. On the other side of encountering God through the pages of Ephesians, the hope is that we would be different than we are right now. God wants us to grow and go deeper in our understanding of the gospel. And you may remember last week, as we considered the big idea of the whole book of Ephesians, it's this, that gospel-shaped love leads to a gospel-shaped life. We are more loved than we understand. And that love that we've experienced from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, is intending to change our lives, to transform us, that we be more deeply changed and become the people that God has saved us and made us to be. And so last week we described this letter as an invitation to move from the shallow end of the pool to the deep end of the pool. And so God wants us to go deeper, and so we're checking our swimmies at the door, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're diving in. Amen? And so what we're going to do here is we're going to first look at these foundational verses 3 through 14, that help us understand before we even move to what it means to live a gospel-shaped life. We need to first understand what it means to be loved by God. What does it mean when we say God loves us? When you look someone in the eye and you say God loves you, what do you mean by that? What does God mean for us to understand by that? I wonder what your favorite love song is. Do you have one? You know the Bible opens up with a love song? When Adam and Eve are brought together, Adam sings a love song. It's a poem. It's a song. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Those lyrics might not work today. I recommend something more from Song of Solomon, okay? That's another book of the Bible that's like one long love song. But isn't it true that over the last 20 years or so, the lyrics of love songs in popular culture have changed a little bit? And I think one of the things that's changed most dramatically about the lyrics of most love songs is that they've changed in what they understand to be the lasting nature of love. We've gone from Diana Ross and Lionel Richie singing My Endless Love to Taylor Swift singing We Are Never, Ever, 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 Ever Getting Back Together, right? I think our culture is skeptical and even cynical about the lasting nature of love. This song that we have captured for us in verses 3 through 14 is a song that celebrates lasting love, a divine love, not a shallow, syrupy kind of love that doesn't last, but a deep, strong, passionate love that is backed by an eternal commitment to love to the end. And so we're going to look at this song that celebrates God's lasting love. And I hope that as we do this, maybe you sit here today with some doubts in your mind about the lasting nature of God's love. I mean, given the cultural climate that we live in, I'm sure it's easy for you to doubt whether the love of your spouse will last forever, whether the love of your friends and family members will be there for you no matter what. And maybe all that's going on in our cultural climate concerning the lasting nature or the not-so-lasting nature of love has caused you to have some doubts about whether or not God will love you and be there for you to the end. Maybe you struggle with believing that God's love for you will be consistent. Maybe you struggle with believing that God loves you more when you're doing good and God loves you less when you're doing bad. Maybe you struggle with believing that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, God will love you no matter what. This song, these verses 3 through 14, are meant to direct your attention, direct our attention to this amazing reality. God's unending love comes to undeserving sinners. Or to say it another way, the big idea of Ephesians 1 through 14 is this: to celebrate the God who loves undeserving sinners with an unending love. This section of Ephesians aims to invite us to celebrate the God who loves undeserving sinners with an unending love. Although we are more sinful and undeserving than we dare to imagine, we are more loved and blessed by God than we could ever think. This gospel-shaped love should move us to worshipful celebration and living lives to the praise of his glory. So let's begin to look at four characteristics of this gospel-shaped love. And I just want us to consider one today, because the first one is so foundational to our understanding of God and so foundational to our understanding of the gospel that I do not want us to rush too quickly through it. And here it is. Gospel-shaped love is, new word, Trinitarian in its expression. Gospel-shaped love is Trinitarian, that may be a new word for you, Trinitarian in its expression. In verses 3 through 14, Paul wants us to go from a one-dimensional view of God's love for us, I am loved by God in general, to a three-dimensional view of God's love for us. I am loved by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I am loved and blessed by the Trinity. God's love is expressed in these verses in relationship to who God is as Trinity. Verses 3 through 14 are careful, very careful, to draw our attention to the one true God who exists in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And what Paul wants us to celebrate is not the love of God in general. He wants us to celebrate how the triune God loves us in particular. United in love, to love, we are loved by the Father, we are loved by the Son, and we are loved by the Holy Spirit. We are loved by the Trinity. Gospel-shaped love is Trinitarian in its expression. The word Trinity is not a word that you'll find in your Bible. However, the doctrine of the Trinity is derived from two groups of text that we find in the Bible from cover to cover. There are passages of Scripture that identify God as one, like Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. There is one God. And all throughout Scripture, the oneness of God is plastered from cover to cover. But there are also another group of texts of Scripture that indicate that there are three distinct persons who are God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And although there are individual passages of Scripture that refer to the Father as God, the Son, Jesus, as God, and the Holy Spirit as God, there are really awesome passages of Scripture that have all three persons of the one true God at one place and at one time to show that each person is not just a general expression of the one true God, that each member of the Trinity is a distinct person in the triune Godhead. For example, in Matthew chapter 3, at the baptism of Jesus, you may recall that when Jesus is baptized by John the Baptizer, the text says that he comes up out of the water and the Spirit of God descends on him in the form of a dove. And there's a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of the one true God, are there at one place at one time. Later on in Matthew chapter 28, the very same thing occurs when Jesus is giving the great commission to his small 120-person member church. He says, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Each person of the Godhead referred to by name, same place, same time. And then again in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, a benediction that we'll often pronounce at the end of our Sunday gatherings. "Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." In these passages of Scripture, we find testimony that there is one true God who exists in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So although the word Trinity doesn't show up in the Bible, it is the word that we use to describe that there is one God who exists in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Trinity is alluded to in verse 3, and each member of the Trinity is referred to at different points throughout these verses, verses 3 through 14. But look at verse 3 as the Trinity is alluded to. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now the reference to the Father in verse 3 is obvious. The reference to the Son in verse 3 is also obvious. The reference to the Holy Spirit in verse 3 is not as obvious, but it's found in the phrase spiritual blessing. It can either mean spiritual as opposed to material, or spiritual in that it comes from the Spirit. The word, the adjective spiritual, can either mean spiritual as opposed to material, or that which comes from the Spirit. Most scholars agree that the adjective spiritual is referring to the blessing as coming from the Spirit. And what bolsters this argument and makes it the most probable interpretation is the direct references to the Holy Spirit at the end of this paragraph in verses 13 and 14. So, what's all that mean? All that means is this, at the opening of this celebratory hymn of God's love, we find reference to the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so with verse 3 informing us of the Trinity's activity in blessing us, we understand God's blessing in this way. The blessings of the triune God come to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. The Father is the origin of the blessing. Jesus provides the substance of the blessing. And the Spirit is the means by which we receive the blessing. You say, this sounds a little technical. Here's Paul's heart. Remember, Paul's heart is that we move beyond a surface, shallow understanding of God in the gospel. And what I believe Paul is doing in the opening movements of this letter is he's inviting us to see that God is bigger than we know. God is more complex than we understand. But the good news is there is much that he's revealed to us that we must grasp if we are to live for him and worship him appropriately. And so I believe it's important for us that if God is triune, and he is, then we need to understand what it means that he is triune, and we also need to understand what it means to read our Bibles with a Trinitarian filter. We have to read our Bibles, because as we read our Bibles with a Trinitarian filter, we understand that the one true God is active in creation and salvation, and he wants us to see what he's doing and how he's doing it and how we honor the Father, how we honor the Son, and how we honor the Holy Spirit appropriately and personally. So this matters. So even though I'm trying to break this down for you and it might seem a little technical, the end is that we would worship well. The end is that we would live well. And the end is that we would do mission well, representing God for who he is, who is revealed in the scriptures and who is revealed in this section of scripture as triune. So this blessing that we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks, this blessing that comes to us from God, this undeserved, unending love that we're going to be exploring in the next several weeks, we need to understand where it's coming from, or better, who it's coming from. It's coming from our triune God. This blessing comes from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. The Father is the origin of the blessing. Jesus is the substance of the blessing, and the Holy Spirit is the means by which we receive the blessing. Now, I know an illustration would help, but for those of you who have studied theology for any length of time, you understand this. Whenever we begin to use illustrations to explain the Trinity, we become heretics. Okay? And so, I'm about to give an illustration, and this illustration, hold on, is not to explain the nature of the Trinity. This illustration is to explain the function of the Trinity in bringing us blessing. If you need some help to understand the historical errors of explaining the Trinity, I'm going to post a YouTube video on my Facebook page today that in a very comical, hilarious ways takes two twin leprechauns from Ireland to describe the Trinity. As these two leprechauns interact with St. Patrick, it's hilarious. And it shows how every single attempt to illustrate the Trinity ends up landing you in a heresy. Don't do it. The Trinity is a mystery. That there can be one God who exists in three distinct persons, that is a mystery, and we receive it by faith because of the textual evidence that's presented to us in the Bible. But let me carefully illustrate how the blessing of God comes to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. If you have a match for me afterwards, be gracious. I wore an extra coat. There's more to burn. Okay. What's this like? What is it like that the blessing of God comes to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit? Well, even though Thanksgiving hasn't taken place yet, people are already talking about Christmas. Okay. Maybe you've done this. Maybe you've already begun to plan for Christmas, in particular, the purchasing of Christmas gifts. Rachel didn't know that I was going to be using this illustration, and even this weekend, she said, hey, we got to talk about Christmas gifts with the kids. I won't do this from the platform, kiddos. You ain't knowing what you're getting, okay? Okay, but I'm actually pretty proud of myself. Today is November 9th, and I have already purchased two Christmas gifts. Pretty good, huh? Planning ahead. No, it was just an impulsive buy, and I had to find an excuse for what to use it for. It's for Christmas, okay? And they're not for me. Don't buy Christmas gifts for yourself, all right, man? Don't do that. So I bought these two Christmas gifts, and one of the Christmas gifts I purchased from Amazon. Amazon's a blessing, isn't it? They're not paying me to give this commercial, okay? The only bad thing about Amazon is it can keep you in your house and not get you out doing what you need to do. Guys, sometimes you need to go out there and sweat finding your wife a gift, okay? All right, don't just click, all right, you think you're the man. Get out there, stand in line, sacrifice is part of what makes the gift awesome, okay? I'll get my kids' gifts on Amazon, okay? So I'm on, here's how it works when you're getting a gift from Amazon, okay? I get online, amazon.com, I select and purchase a gift. Amazon takes the product off the shelf, gives it to UPS, and then UPS delivers it to my house. So if I were to buy a gift for you from Amazon, here's how it would work. I would select the gift. I would purchase the gift. Amazon would get the gift. Amazon would then send the gift through by UPS. And so all of a sudden you have a knock at your door. Got a blessing for you. Okay? Question. Who is this blessing from? Well, the blessing has come from me through Amazon by UPS. Am I a heretic yet? I think not. Right? I'm the origin of the gift. Amazon is the substance of the gift. UPS is the means by which the gift is delivered. This is how it works as the Trinitarian Godhead brings to us blessing, as the Trinitarian Godhead shows us love. The Father is the origin of the blessing. Jesus is the substance of the blessing. He's actually the gift. And the Spirit is the means through which we receive the gift. The Father originates the gift. Jesus provides the gift. And the Spirit brings us the blessing. This is how it works with the Trinity. Next week, we're going to consider Paul's catalog of every spiritual blessing as is described in verses 3 through 14. And it's important to understand that every single one of these blessings is an expression of God's Trinitarian love. Meaning every single one of God's blessings comes to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Or to say it another way, gospel-shaped love is a Trinitarian expression. Every blessing you graciously receive from God is brought to you this way. Every blessing we receive from the heart of God, who loves us with so great a love, comes to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. This is true about God's blessings, past, present, and future. Let's talk about God's blessings in the past. I'm just going to reference these. We're going to dig into them, Lord willing, next week. God's blessings in the past. You have been chosen, verse 3. You've been predestined and adopted, verse 4. You've been redeemed and forgiven, verse 7. You've been included in God's master plan to renew all things, verse 10. You've been made inheritors of eternal life, verse 11. You've been sealed to the end, verse 13. All this blessing has come to you from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. You've been blessed, past tense, with Trinitarian love. This is also true about God's blessing in the present. Every day, if you're a follower of Jesus, you benefit from the blessings, the active blessings of election, predestination, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, inheritance, and indwelling. And if you're wondering what all those words mean, again, we're going to plunge into them next week. But it's important to understand this. Every blessing that's yours from the heart of God right here, right now, in an active, ongoing way, as we're gathered here this morning, live time, is coming to you from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Right now, you are the object of Trinitarian love. Let's talk about the future. This is true about God's blessing in the future. That was from a Brian Regan skit. Couldn't help it. That wasn't in the script because I didn't have saying it a certain way in the script. The future, there's so much to come. We can say this, we are so blessed now, but the best is yet to come. For all eternity, you will enjoy the benefits of God's love in all these things I've just mentioned and that we'll look into again next week. You will be the beneficiary of all these blessings forever and ever and ever and forever. It will continue to come to you from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. You will be loved forever and ever and ever with a Trinitarian love. So here's the point. You are loved and blessed, past, present, and future by the Trinity. And because you are loved and blessed by the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit deserve to be loved and blessed by you. That's where this is going. It's important to identify God's love as Trinitarian love, because when we identify his love and blessing as Trinitarian love and blessing, it will lead us to a more particular, pronounced, and appropriate worship. We will give praise and honor and glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. We will go from one-dimensional worship to three-dimensional worship. We will worship God as he is in his nature, a Trinity. We will live our lives to the praise of his glory, as we'll look at in a few weeks. We have this mission to bring attention, to live for the fame of another, to make much of the one who made us, to make much of the one who saved us. Who is the one who saved us? God, who is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we get to know our God as Trinity more and more, we will live our lives on purpose for the glory of the Trinity more and more. Because you are loved and blessed by the triune God, the triune God deserves to be loved and blessed by you. This is a song that we are being invited to sing along with. A hymn of praise to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who loves us with an everlasting love. God is big. To use theological speak, if I haven't already done that a little bit today, our triune God is incomprehensible, meaning we cannot fully comprehend all that our God is. He is completely other. Yes, we are made in his image, but he alone is God. And what we are being invited to do is to enter into the deep end of the pool and understand the complexities and the beauties of our incomprehensible God so much as we can as limited human beings. And so you don't need a certain education level to be able to get this. You don't need to have been following Jesus for any length of period of time to get this, because later on in chapter 1, here's what we hear. We hear that our ability to comprehend the complexities and the beauties of the triune God is dependent upon a gift. And that gift is one of the members of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is present and active in our lives to help us comprehend with all of the saints how deep this love is that comes to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. So part of Paul's desire in the song is for us to be wowed by God. Isn't God wowing? There's no one like him. He's Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, get this. He has blessed you. He is blessing you. And he will bless you forever because he loves you. Because he loves you. Oh, and as we get down into the nuances of the song, we're going to be shocked that this beautiful, complex, amazing, glorious God loves undeserving sinners like you and me. He's amazing. What do we mean when we say God loves us? This is what we mean. We have been made the objects of the triune God's blessing. Because we are deeply loved by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So what are some of the takeaways as we move on from our time together today? Well, ask yourself, has your view of God and his love been flat, one-dimensional? Do you speak of God like he's a glob? He's the God glob. Or do you speak of God like he is triune, beautiful, complex, one God who exists in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all the blessing you're receiving right now comes through the Father, by the Father. I just messed that up. Here I go. From the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Have you considered how you are loved by our one God who exists in three distinct persons? Here's some homework. I want you to grow. I want us to grow in reading our Bible through a Trinitarian lens. So I want to encourage you this week to read this passage a handful of times, verses 3 through 14. And I want you to identify who the pronouns are referring to. Where are the pronouns referring to the Father? Where are the pronouns referring to the Son? Where are the pronouns referring to the Holy Spirit? Read this section of Scripture. Man. Read this section of Scripture through a Trinitarian lens. look for your one true God who exists in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and begin to get your heart wrapped around the blessings that come to you from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And we're going to unpack them next week. Lord, when we're going to unpack election and adoption and predestination, we're going to unpack redemption, forgiveness, inheritance, renewal, sealing, guarantee. There's so much blessing that comes to us freely by the grace of God in this text. And it all comes to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Do you read your Bible through a Trinitarian filter? Do you pray in Trinitarian language? I love one of the songs that Rob selected for us as we opened up with a gathering song. Heavenly Father, beautiful Son, Spirit of light and truth, thank you for bringing sinners to come to you. That's a beautiful song that expresses how the blessing of God comes to us from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. We have a God who's blessed us. We have a Trinitarian God who's blessed us. And we want to grow in getting to know him and talk with him and interact with him and sing to him and praise him in a way that reflects we understand him as much as we possibly can as limited, finite, redeemed men and women. We are loved with a Trinitarian love. So Paul is inviting us to join him in blessing the triune God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Our lives are filled with expression after expression of this love that comes to us particularly from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And so part of going deeper into the gospel is knowing more deeply in our heads, feeling more deeply in our hearts, being more deeply transformed in every areas of our lives, that although we are more sinful and undeserving than we dare to admit, we are more loved and blessed by God than we can ever imagine, and that love is a Trinitarian love. And so let's learn it and love it. And more important, join Paul in celebrating it. Celebrate the God who loves undeserving sinners with an unending love. And that gospel-shaped love is Trinitarian in its expression. Let's pray together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you for blessing undeserving sinners with every possible blessing in heavenly places. There's not a blessing that you withhold. And it's not because we deserve it or that we've earned it. You give us every possible spiritual blessing, holding absolutely nothing back from us because you love undeserving sinners. And so, God, we unite our hearts together this morning as brothers and sisters in Jesus, thanking you, our triune God, for loving us this way. And we thank you that this love is not a fickle love. It's not a love that goes up and down. It's not changed by circumstances. It doesn't increase when we're really good or decrease when we're really bad. You love us fully and completely with an unending, relentless love. Thank you, God. And so we're asking that we would join the Apostle Paul in going deeper into our understanding of this love. Help us to go deeper in our understanding of what it means to be loved by you, and you being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so move us, Lord. Move us, Lord. Help us to know you more deeply. Help us to feel you more deeply. Help us to be changed by you more deeply. It's amazing to know this, that although we are more sinful and undeserving than we like to admit, we are nonetheless more loved and blessed than we could ever imagine. You are a gracious God. So we praise you. We celebrate this grace. And now as we come to the table to receive the bread and the cup, we do so understanding, Father, that the giving of Jesus is the substance of your blessing. And so would we honor you, Father, by recognizing this good and precious gift. And we honor you, Spirit, as we partake of the bread and the cup. It's through your work in our hearts that we understand our need of Jesus, our need of forgiveness, our need of reconciliation, our need of the gospel. And so would you be praised now? Would you be honored, triune God, as we celebrate this supper together? In Christ's name, amen.